Let's get this show on the road. Good evening and welcome to the Man Cave. I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster, bringing you Diz Dad's podcast, episode number 77, live. Tonight, we're going to catch up on some Disney news and rumors, also take some live calls. But before we get to that, I want to thank our podcast sponsor, as usual, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. They can help you plan trips to Walt Disney World, on the Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland. Heck, they can even help with Disneyland Paris if you're interested in that. Just check them out at fairytalejourneys.com. And, all right, so the first thing we're going to try on tonight's show, something we've never done before. It's difficult because, I don't have any practice doing this, but we're going to do a game show here. I've got some volunteers, and we're going to play a little game of Diz Dad's Password. Got a game complete with prizes, so let me just explain what we've got going here. First, I've got Team Bacon. Team Bacon is Paul Lawson and Will Gregory. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey, everyone.
And then we've got Team Dole Whip. Team Dole Whip will be Adam Dale.
Evening, guys.
And Jason Mitz.
Outstanding.
Welcome, guys. Okay, so here's the way we're going to do this. First of all, I'm going to ask Paul and Jason and Will, who I notice are currently offline, to log into Facebook so that I can send you private messages. Well, actually, don't worry about it. I'll just do them within Skype. I think I can do that. And so I'll send you a message when it's your turn to give the clue, and your partner will then try to guess the answer. You'll have 30 seconds after one member of the group is given the clue to give an answer. And if you get it right, your team gets a point. If you don't get it right, then the other team will try to go. We'll go back and forth. We're going to play basically, what do I got here? All right, we're going to play four rounds. Whoever has the highest number of points wins. All right, so on Team Bacon, who's going to give first? Paul or Will?
Might be better if Will gives first on this one.
All right. So, Will, do you understand how the rules work here? I'm going to send a message just to you that has your secret word, and you'll give Paul a one-word clue to try and guess what that secret word is, okay?
We'll give it a shot.
All right. Okay, Will, I have sent you your clue. Give Paul a one-word clue.
All right, Paul. Let's go with futuristic.
Epcot.
No, I'm sorry. So I'm now going to send the clue to Jason. And Jason, again, same situation. You're going to give Adam a one-word clue. Okay, you ready, Jason?
No, not yet.
Okay. Did you get your clue or your word?
No, I'm having a hard time getting the screen to pop up here.
Sorry about that. Be easier if I send it to you on Facebook?
Oh, no. I got it.
Okay. One word clue.
One word clue. Oh, man. Okay.
Your partner's waiting for a clue.
Do, 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 do.
Stitch.
Okay, the clue was Stitch. Do we have a guess?
Future World.
I'm sorry, no. We'll go back over and we'll give another chance to Will. Will, give Paul another clue. The clues so far have been, what were they again? Futuristic and Stitch.
All right. Let's go with Push.
You have a guess for us, Paul?
Do you know?
5 seconds.
Sorry, but no. No, I'll have to pass.
Okay. All right, he doesn't have a guess, so Jason, go ahead and give another clue. Futuristic, Stitch, and Push are the clues so far.
Area.
Okay. Do we have a guess from Adam? Okay, 5 seconds, Adam. 4, 3, 2, 1. No guess.
Oh, man. I was muted. Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland it is. Correct. So that's one point for Tomorrowland
in the mid zone.
I thought maybe you were going to the bathroom again or something.
Okay, so now we understand how the game is played. This time around, we're going to turn it around, and Adam's going to give the clues to Jason, and Paul will give clues to Will. So, Adam, I am going to send you the next clue. Good question, Jason. They probably can't see your chat. At least they shouldn't be watching it, because we don't want the Skype and Mixler sound to be doubling over each other.
I am not part of the Mixler mix right now. I'm just using Skype.
Right. Okay, so I need to send this clue to Jason. Oh, no, not to Jason. Sorry. This is to Adam.
Oh, you can send it to me. It'll just be that much easier.
Nice try. Okay, Adam, your clue or your answer. And I'm going to go ahead and send it to Paul as well.
Okay. Spectacular.
Okay, Jason, your guess, the clue was spectacular.
Wishes?
Not a bad guess, but no. Paul, your turn to give a clue.
Okay, so following on from that one, I would say Hollywood Studios.
Well, that's two words, but we'll give you a break on that one. That's the warning for everybody. One word. But the clue is Hollywood Studios.
Well, let's try Fantasmic.
And Fantasmic it is. We've got a tied up game here. 1 point for Team Bacon and 1 point for Team Dole Whip. So we'll switch it back around. And Will give the next clue. Let's see. Will. Okay, I sent a clue to Will, and I'm also going to send it to, let's see, this is Jason's turn again, right?
Correct.
Yes. Okay, Will, you're up first.
Okay, give me 1 second, my Skype.
You find it, Will?
Got it.
Okay, so let's have a clue.
All right, let's go with imagination.
Okay, imagination is the clue. We have a guess, Adam?
Figment.
Correct. Nice job. All right. Well, that's 2 points for Team Dole Whip, 1 point for Team Bacon. This is, let's see. This means that Adam and Jason are going to advance to the bonus round here with a 2-1 victory in the preliminaries. Now, this is a little more difficult, so listen carefully. This is the way it's going to work. Between Adam and Jason, you need to choose one of you to give and one to receive.
I believe I will give, if that's okay with you, Adam.
Works for me.
All right. So Jason's going to give. I'm going to send him right now a list of 10 passwords. He can go through these in any order he wants, but you've got 60 seconds to get 6 of these correct. Let's see. Let's get this sent to Jason. So there's the list, Jason. Oh, I'm sorry, Jason. We're going to have to fix one of those. Skip number 2 because I changed some things around. I'm going to send you a replacement number 2 right now. All right.
Is this the same one word type of thing?
Right. Same one word. And you keep giving him one word clues until he chooses to pass on the word.
Okay. I got you.
All right.
Yes, sir.
You ready?
Absolutely.
Ready.
All right. 60 seconds starts now.
Epcot.
Future World.
Fireworks.
Oh, my, oh my goodness. Fireworks show at the end of the night.
Oh, no, skip that one, man. Forget that.
Illuminations.
Okay, Illuminations, that's 1 point.
Okay. Fireworks.
Wishes.
2 points.
Sour.
Doofenshmirtz.
Cola.
Beverly.
3 points.
Cave.
Tequila.
4 points.
Princess.
Ariel. Jasmine.
5 points. Four.
Steakhouse.
Three.
La Salle.
One.
A different one.
Time.
Yachtsman.
Almost. 5 points. You fell one short. Sorry, gentlemen. But guess what? You all are going to get a little something for playing. So all four of you will win gift certificates to restaurants in the Swan and Dolphin. I've got $25 gift certificates to either Blue Zoo or Shula's. After the show, we can talk about it, and you can let me know which you'd prefer your gift certificate for. Paul, I can send one to you, too. You can use yours when you're here for your trip. Oh, I think we're losing Paul. Oh, Skype died. Okay, did we lose everybody or just Paul?
I'm still here. I can hear you kinda.
Oh, no. Okay, do we have everybody back?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear. Somebody sounds like they're stuck in Future World. Yeah, it sounds like it's cutting out pretty badly. All right, I'm going to drop the rest of the folks in the Skype room for the time being for just a minute. Don't call back, please. We're just going to see if we can get things with the connection cleaned up. All right, so is everybody hearing okay in the room now? Okay, can everybody hear in the Mixler room now? I'm waiting for you to comment. Yeah, okay. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and move on. I'll take some individual calls. We'll see if that helps with the bandwidth issue, if we just have maybe one caller coming in at a time. So, I thought I'd make a list. There were some topics that were good ones to talk about. We hadn't talked about much yet on the boards or anything, but there's a lot of news and a lot of rumors that have been flying around lately. And so I thought we ought to talk about those. The first thing that comes to mind is some people have noted recently that there have been some pretty major layoffs or closings that Disney has done just in the last 2-3 weeks. They laid off, they completely closed, they shuttered LucasArts, the games division, and then they also followed up by laying off every 2D animator who wasn't already working on a current project. And I think the expectation is that once the current projects are cleaned up, those folks are probably going to, be next. So looking for anybody who wants to talk about the closings, those kinds of things, go ahead and make yourselves known in the chat. I can reach out and give you a call and we can talk a little bit. you know, if I'm just commenting on my own, what I would say is that, you know, Disney has a history on this. It's not unusual. Basically, when they're getting ready to do some major expansion or major acquisition, it's not at all uncommon for Disney to lay off people, to trim headcount, essentially to make room for an expansion. And so, you know, I think it's probably a good thing here that, you know, Disney is making room. You know, they're trying to get ready for some expansion, and I think we already see it coming. Okay, well, yeah, Jason in the chat room mentions a good topic to chat about, because I actually know a little bit about it and have some information. He mentioned Space Mountain got shut down by OSHA in Disneyland today. It was not just Space Mountain. They actually closed initially four attractions. They closed Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Matterhorn, and Soarin' over in California Adventure. My understanding now is that all four of those closings were related to fall protection issues, that there were some concerns about employees who did maintenance work and were on catwalks, and the catwalks weren't equipped to provide them with appropriate fall protection. You know, I think I need a guest on here, so I'm going to reach out and make a call to somebody I know who's available. So we're going to add Adam back in and see if that works. Adam, you there? Oh, my goodness. Well, Adam's kind of sort of there, but mostly not. Let's try again. Sorry about that. I'm not used to doing this show solo. So let's try and bring Will back in. Hey, Will. Okay, looks like Skype is not cooperating with adding other callers in. So I get to do a solo show interacting with the chat room, apparently. All right, so back to Disneyland. Essentially, OSHA came in, they checked out Splash Mountain. Hey, Adam. No, I still can't hear you at all. So they did go in. They've got Splash Mountain reopened, which is a good thing. It's just a matter of getting the rest of the attractions checked out. I expect that they'll have everything up within a couple of days. It shouldn't be that difficult. I've had cases that dealt with fall protection in similar circumstances, and it's just a matter of finding anchor points for them, and you know, they can run guide wires. It's not such a big deal. But it has nothing to do with guest experience. It won't affect the attraction layout. It won't affect any effects. It's purely backstage stuff that was causing this. All right, I'm trying to call Joe. That was what somebody suggested. So let's see if Joe's around. Hey, Joe. No, I can't hear Joe either.
You got me?
Oh, now I got him. I think I see what happened. Okay. All right. So, Joe, I don't know. What do you think about this?
On the OSHA deal?
Well, either on the OSHA deal or the Disney layoffs. We've got both topics out on the table already.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Well, the OSHA deal, I think it's one of those things that, that Disney probably should address at certain times of the year, kind of like they do elevator inspections.
Yeah, I mean, it's
it maybe there's not a natural practice.
Well, it sounds to me like part of what was going on here, you know, I looked it up a little bit, and Disneyland has had some previous violations with Cal OSHA, which is, you know, a state plan. I don't work for them. I work for the feds. But California OSHA is its own group. They enforce on their own. And they've cited them for fall protection violations previously, including specifically on Space Mountain back in November. So this is the kind of thing, you know, it concerns me because it means that there are executives who aren't being careful.
Right.
You know, it's like I said, it's generally not that difficult to come up with a compliance plan. And if you get cited for it a couple of times, they're going to look for it again the next time they're out.
Agree. It becomes an easy target.
Right. Right. And, you know, the thing is that with these, the way these citations work, if they don't fix the problem, it escalates, right? The next one is a higher fine and it's a higher level violation. California's law apparently works a little differently than the one I'm used to working with. For me, you know, if I were to have a company that didn't fix something that I had, you know, that we'd already settled that they were supposed to have fixed, they'd have what's called a failure to abate citation. That's $7,000 a day for each day that they expose somebody to that same hazard. And, you know, if they inspected last back in November, you know, in the federal system, we'd be looking at, you know, 6-digit plus penalties just for this one issue. Hey, Paul, before you leave, we do want to wish you happy birthday, and we're really glad you're up to join us. Sorry you didn't get to play the bonus round, but I am glad you stayed up late and hung out with us for a bit. All right. So was there another topic that you wanted to chat about a little, Joe? Something you had brought up
in
the chat room?
And let's cover up the layoffs as well, right? So it's kind of a given that any organization, I mean, obviously, I work for JCPenney's and everybody knows what's going on there. We make the media quite often. But anytime two companies do a buyout or a merge, there's duplicate efforts, right? We've gone through that layoff this past year as well, where we've had teams doing the duplicate effort. They're doing the same job. And it's trying to streamline the organization and say, you know what, we like what you do, but we really need to focus on our initiatives. And you guys don't have a fitting anywhere else in the organization. So you have no choice but to kind of cut the ropes a little bit and weed those people out. It's sad and unfortunate, but that's just the way business is.
Sure. Well, and, you know, I know there was a lot of lamentation over the fact that Disney was closing 2D animation, essentially. You know, they were laying off all the 2D animators. But, you know, they've already announced the next 3 years' worth of films, and they're not making any 2D animation. So how can you keep people, you know, working full-time in a studio if they don't have any projects to work on?
Exactly. And the other side of that being, you know, it may be not in Disney's best interest to invest in these people in the same regards. I mean, it depends on how big of a team they've got running all the other 3D efforts and the digital efforts.
True. You know, and I think it's just a function of the fact that there isn't even room on their release schedule right now to build in any more 2D animation. There's no room to release it. There isn't a weekend available.
Right.
So, you know, you got what you got.
Exactly. And then, like I said, that's just the way business is. I'm unfortunate for those people on those teams. It's where kind of, you know, I can say that I've played kind of like the jack of all trades guy in the IT industry, where I've learned a little bit of everything. I'm not a master of one, but I learned a lot about a little bit about a lot of things, should I say.
Right.
And that's made me more roundable to say I could move from here to there. But when you get keyholed into a particular, skill set, it's kind of hard to, you know, when things like that particular skill set die out with the technology, it's kind of hard to move you around and continue to use you.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, was there anybody else who wanted to get online here now that we've figured out the Skype issues and would like to pitch in their 2 cents on either the Disneyland shutdown issue or the layoffs? Jason, you got a mic? Should we get you on here now? Yeah, actually, what you just typed is a good point about the LucasArts piece. There's a lot of news out there that the game that they were currently working on was kind of spinning its wheels anyway. So, you know, it was just a matter of time, and it happened to be after it changed hands to Disney that it was time to cut loose. And we should be clear that although they've closed LucasArts, they're still in. Have said that they intend to continue to make, games that are based on those properties. They're just moving to a model where they're outsourcing games. They're not going to make them themselves. They're going to essentially license the characters or the properties to established game companies.
I believe I also as well read that they were kind of separating themselves off from the video game market for consoles.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Jason, you got to turn down the Mixler feed since I just called you in.
Sure. Scott's he's hammering away on it right now.
All right. So, Jason, you have 2 cents you want to toss in here on either layoffs or the Disneyland closures?
Sure. You know, I think I'm a big Star Wars fan. And so the closing of LucasArts, especially in their gaming division, and you kind of touched on it briefly here. I mean, there's a little bit of a delay here from what I'm hearing to the current conversation, of course. But the games are actually going to be better without LucasArts, I feel. You know, the Star Wars 1313 project is still probably going to move forward, but it'll probably be in better hands through a different studio.
Right. I think that's a key. You know, somebody who knows much more about this stuff than I do said recently that, you know, if you loved these prior LucasArts games and loved the games they built around their Star Wars characters, you'll actually be much happier now that they've shuttered LucasArts, because what it means is that the people who made those games that you loved so much are the same people who are probably going to make the follow-ups. Because they now work for independent gaming companies, or separate gaming companies at least.
Exactly. And there's big money in video games and console markets. I mean, it's no secret. And I'm sure Disney isn't going to risk losing anything at this point. It's all their plan, I'm sure, that and I'm sure those employees probably did have clues that the LucasArts division was going to shut.
Yeah, and the timing here is not no surprise, right? You know, right as they're ramping up the major investment in making, the next movie and making 7, they shed all of the stuff that's not essential because they're not going to spend money on the other things. They're going to focus on the primary investment.
Yep, I agree with that.
So Nate mentioned in the chat room, Disney Infinity. Have Joe or Jason, either of you looked at Disney Infinity?
I have not, but I know that Disney's really pushing it. They're trying to get the information out there to say, hey, you know, we're working on another project. You guys check it out and get excited for us because it's coming.
Right. And they did, from what I understand, just recently push it back to, I think, an August release now. I don't know. Anybody in the chat room want to hop on? Nate, you want to hop on and talk a little bit about Disney Infinity? Let's see if Nate's online. I'll just give him a call.
Marketing.
Calling you out, Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Hey there.
So tell us about Disney Infinity. You seem excited about it.
I just think the concept looks interesting. The part with the, what do they call it, the toy box?
Right. So explain to people what the toy box is versus, you know, the Disney Infinity core game itself.
The toy box looks like, you know, you could take the elements that you've game and playing the game and put them all together in your self-created play area. Create your own games in it. Looks very promising from the videos I've seen.
Well, and the reason that that's so interesting is if you've seen any of the advertising for Disney Infinity, you've seen that the first group of characters that's included in the set are, let's see... I think if correct me if I'm wrong.
Sully.
Here. Right. Sully and Jack Sparrow.
Yep.
And,
who is the other one?
Mrs. Incredible.
Yeah. Mr. Incredible. Yeah.
Is it Mr. Incredible? I thought it was Mr. Elastigirl.
Yeah. No, it's Mr.
Incredible. It's Mr. Incredible. Okay. So it's three completely different universes that, in the toy box, you can blend together and play them in a shared universe.
Yeah. The latest video that just came out like this week, they showed some Phineas and Ferb characters.
Cool.
And Wreck-It Ralph.
Excellent.
And Cars characters from a couple of weeks ago.
Cool. All right. Well, Nate, I'm going to put you, actually, I'm going to hang up on you because then I'm going to add you back into the call with Joe and Jason. It looks like I put them on hold instead of just adding you.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Yep, still here.
Didn't mean to leave you like that. We're going to add Nate back in. So were you listening to what Nate had to say, or could you not hear because you weren't listening to the Mixler broadcast?
I had turned the Mixler down.
Okay. So Nate just was talking about Disney Infinity and the fact that he's intrigued by the toy box concept, that you're going to be able to kind of blend characters from different Disney universes into one game. You want to elaborate on that any, Nathan?
The video showed, you know, people making their own games, even like a little pinball game, and had different worlds. I seen, you know, a couple of Spaceship Earths dropped in there in Cinderella's Castle, Scrooge's Money Bin.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're including the things from the parks properties as well. I think that kind of blends the on-screen element of it with the reality element of it. And it, I think that adds a fun extra layer to it.
And of course, there's going to be plenty of extra merchandise you have to buy with this game is the only downside I see.
Well, that is the idea, right? I mean, the idea is to hook you into buying as many of these little characters as they can get you to buy so that you'll, you know, play more things and, you know, buy more characters so that you can add them to your toy box and all of that.
Yeah, I also saw that they were selling like a little disc or something you could put underneath your character to give them different abilities.
Yeah, I think that's the way the game works.
Okay.
The little disc is how you connect the player to your game. But, you know, I'm not a gamer, so it's all kind of new for me. All right, well, tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and add Mark Pratt into this call. Hey, Mark.
Evening, how you doing?
Doing all right. Well, I understand you are having a hard time getting in to listen to us in Mixlr, so I figured I'd just go ahead and bring you in on the call. We were just talking about Disney Infinity, and I know that you're a bit of a gamer. Have you looked at Disney Infinity at all?
I haven't, but that sounds like something I do need to check out.
Okay. Any opinions on the shuttering of the LucasArts games division?
You know what? I honestly think, you know, if anything's going to happen that's, you know, with Disney buying Lucas, I think that some good will come out of that because, I mean, they, you know, with Disney's power and the members that they have, the minds that they have working for them, I think that Disney should hold on to that and work with that, you know, work that angle because there's a lot of good gaming that could come out of that.
Yeah, and we were just talking about the fact that it sounds like a lot of those games are still going to get made. They're just going to get made as licensed properties. They're going to license mm-hmm. them out to, you know, other successful game developers. And I think that part of what's happened is, you know, Disney spent about, you know, 5 years now trying to buy games companies and integrate right. them into Disney, and none of them have been particularly successful.
Well, I mean, they had, you know, a little bit of success with, you know, with the ones that they came out with for the Wii or with Epic Mickey and the part two of that as well, but not as much as it's not as big of a share as they should be getting of the gaming market. You know, they've got a, I don't know, you can't really give Mickey a machine gun and let him go, you know, crazy that way because that kind of, you know, distills the image of Disney itself, but, you know, it'd be fun, but, you know, it's there's a lot of the shooter games that are out there are, you know, what the market's focused on right now. And it's not really a family gamed market right now.
So. Well, and that's I think where Disney Infinity fits in. As somebody mentioned in the chat, that Disney Infinity looks an awfully lot like the Skylanders game, that mm-hmm. it's a similar concept. And, you know, it's got some elements there that are really family, more family friendly. They encourage the trading stuff. It almost feels a little right. bit like Vinylmation.
Yeah, and our kids have the Skylander thing, and they love it. I mean, they're totally into it, and I think you're correct on that. If they can get the trading part down on it, then yeah, I think that's gonna be pretty amazing. So, but yeah, I think that, you know, as long as they market it the right way and they work with it the right way, that it'll definitely be successful.
All right. Well, let's move on now from the talk that we were just having about recent news and maybe move to the rumor side a little bit, because I know some people were excited to expand what we're normally talking about on these podcasts. So the first one, I think, will really be kind of a blend of news and rumor. The news piece is, I'm sure you've all seen or heard some of the news that's been floating around about the new concept for Downtown Disney that they're going to be starting on, you know, shortly, if they haven't already begun doing some of the beginning construction work, and that is Disney Springs. So key elements of Disney Springs are that parking is going to be just about all moved into two large parking garages, which does two things. Number one, it helps clean up the mess that is parking at Downtown Disney. But the other thing it does is it opens up all of that surface parking area to be, mm-hmm. you know, developed. And they're looking to increase, I think the numbers I've read are that they want to see a 50% increase in both retail and restaurant in Downtown Disney, which will become Disney Springs. Anybody have any initial reactions, things that they've looked at that they you know, like about it, don't like about it, are hopeful for?
I think for one, it's going to, you know, definitely increase the parking that they're going to have there, because they're talking about, you know, almost what, tripling the size of the parking, something like that, or I can't remember what the heck they were talking about. The two parking garages will, I was just reading something about it, it's like 6,000 vehicles or something like that.
Yeah, it's a ton more parking space, but if they're going to have all this extra parking space, they're going to have to justify what they spent on it, and that's going to have to mean, you know, more retail and more attractive dining in downtown Disney.
Right. Yeah, they're going to have to bring in some high retail, you know, places and all that stuff to kind of fill some of the voids that are down there.
Right. Well, and I think one of the elements is definitely going to be some, you know, focused high-end retail. I know that there's been talk about things like, I think, a Coach store. So, you know, kind of the high-end leather goods thing. There's been some talk about the possibility of an Apple store in downtown Disney, or would be Disney Springs. That kind of high-end niche retailers. But I also think that they're going to have to include some other things in downtown Disney, or that they at least should, that really fulfill that goal of Disney Springs being something that keeps guests on Disney property. You know, Terry mentioned in the chat, you know, Target. Something as simple as a drugstore, you know, just makes sense. Why should guests have to get a cab to go to Walgreens if they need to fill a prescription while they're at Walt Disney World, right? Mm-hmm. And it would seem to me that if Disney went to, you know, Walmart, CVS, Target, Pathmark, put them all in a room and said, okay, you know, whoever bids the highest and agrees to meet all of our architectural standards gets to build the drugstore in Disney Springs, Disney can't lose.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, I think I agree that I think downtown does need a little bit of a facelift from what it's been over the past, you know, 8 or 9 years. It's kind of gotten trite, and everybody's used to what's there. And then this new expansion that they're talking about, along with what they've done already, you know, like when they brought in the bowling alley and all the other things that are going on, it's that refresh that needs to happen every cycle of about 8 or 9 years.
Well, and downtown Disney, you know, it has some structural problems that Disney Springs will address. I mean, it's not just a matter of refreshing the retail mix, but it's going to fix the worst of the traffic issues. You know, that they're going to basically go from having, what, something like 6 or 8 stoplights along the street there to having right. 1 or 2 because of the way the entrance is being redone. And the having the pedestrian bridge, it'll be safer to walk into downtown Disney. So those things will be good. But, you know, it does seem that there's got to be both high-end and more mainstream merchants there if it's going to be successful, because if it's just high-end stuff, you end up with a lot of browsers and a couple of buyers. And I think at least that, you know, there's a point of diminishing returns where you're not really making any money off of that additional retail space if it's all high-end stuff. I don't know. Maybe I'm too pessimistic, but I think some of it needs to be pretty mainstream.
Right. I mean, my opinion is that you don't want to shoot too high, right? Because if people don't fly all the way to Orlando and go to Disney World to go shopping for these items, right? Really, people want to walk away with more Disney-related merchandise, I think. I mean, an Apple store, maybe it's being one of the top mobile communication brands out there. You may need a power supply because you left yours at home. Various things like that make sense, right? Well, but you start going into the Coaches and the high-end brands. If it's not Disney branded, it's not something they couldn't buy over the internet or get from in their own town.
Well, here's the interesting thing that has been brought up a couple of times, and I think it's important to remember. You know, a bigger and bigger proportion of Disney guests are coming from overseas. So they're coming from the UK, they're coming from South America, they're coming from Australia. And for the way the economy is right now, at least, you know, their currencies are fairly strong against the dollar. So they can do really well shopping in the United States. And for a lot of them, you know, they're leaving Disney property and hitting the outlet malls. They're hitting the Florida mall. This would be an opportunity for Disney to capture those dollars and keep them, again, keep them on property.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the flip side is, you know, for those of us who are not coming from overseas, you know, if we can get it in our mall at home, why would we shop for it at Disney and have to lug it back?
Yeah, that's what I think is the key is don't go after something people can get from home. People came all this way, give them something that they can't get anywhere else, you know, right. And I think, you know, looking at some of the messages in the Mixler, the thing they need to be well-rounded about is, one, they need to focus on a reason to be there. You need the entertainment aspect. The other aspect of it being food. You've got to have good quality food. Reason for people to want to go down there. And as usual, I mean, a lot of us buy into the Disney dining plan, so there's got to be plenty of support for that. I mean, there's going to be certain niche businesses that won't be part of that partnership. And it'll be straight out cash and credit. But there's got to be equal number of support for the dining plan as well in some of those downtown locations. And the other side of that, the third part of the triangle, I guess, the entertainment, the food, and the merchandise.
All right. Sorry about all that moving around there. I had to I think it's time to pour myself a drink. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's where some of the most fun speculation has come in about what might happen with dining in downtown Disney. And, you know, some people were alluding to my personal favorite speculation, which is that I think downtown Disney is the place to do something with a pirate dining experience. I tend to disagree with the idea that, you know, was bandied about before New Fantasyland opened, that there weren't enough boy attractions. I didn't quite buy that. You know, most attractions are pretty unisex. But when it comes to character meals, you know, I do think that we're very girl-focused, right? I mean, we've got multiple princess meals. We've got, scotch, multiple princess meals. We've got all kinds of female character meals, but we just don't have very many boy character experiences. I mean, you know, maybe breakfast at Ohana with Stitch, but you know, Lilo's there too. With Mickey, it's still fairly gender neutral. So what I've suggested, and you know, they have said that they expect to do some character dining in downtown Disney. I think that you've got that, you know, waterfront area that shares a waterfront area with Port Orleans. So put a pirate themed, you know, character dining experience right there on the water. You can, you know, make a big show out of the whole thing. You could even, now that they've announced they're going to close Captain Jack's, you could even use that space. You've already got an over the water, platform that's built. It's already in place. So it makes construction of something new easy. I think it'd be terrific. And I think it'd sell out and bring people into downtown Disney in ways that other high-end dining just doesn't. Raglan Road is great. Wolfgang Puck is really good food, but we don't have very many restaurants in downtown Disney that are a big draw for kids. And I think a pirate meal would be.
Yeah, I agree. You got Fulton's, that's the big paddle wheel boat over there. And, you know, I think it'd be a hit if they did something pirate themed in a boat that looked like the Black Pearl. you know, it would be a crazy crowd at first opening trying to get into that place. Yeah. And then of course, my other comment on that around character dining is the thing we haven't seen yet, and is a very easy win, I think, as well, is like the guys are saying, let's get a Star Wars themed restaurant in there to cater to the boys.
Well, sure. And maybe there's room for that too in Downtown Disney, although my guess is we're going to see at least a cantina in Hollywood Studios before too long. You know, I know it's been rumored for a long time as a possibility, and there's room to do it there. You know, I think we all have the feeling that Backlot Tour is not long for this world. anybody else have things that they want to talk about with regard to Disney Springs? Anybody else want to hop on the call and chat a little bit? All right, I'm going to go ahead and hang up with Joe and with Nate. And if anybody wants to call in, just go ahead and hit me up on Skype, AJ Ritz. Let's see. Oh, that's right. So more news and rumors to talk about. The next thing that we probably want to talk about is, and if I can find my notes. There they are. Okay, so next up is the rumor that's been going around a long time about DVC coming to the Polynesian Resort. The rumors have picked up again, mostly because I think two things have happened. The Grand Floridian project is getting closer to done, and people are, you know, anticipating purchases at Grand Floridian. And then the other thing is that some news seems to have leaked about the maybe sort of crown jewel of a Poly DVC build, which is they're looking at some of these bungalows that extend out over the water into the Seven Seas Lagoon. Kind of like if you've ever seen pictures of those bungalows, I think they're in Tahiti or Bora Bora, that have the walkway out into the water. So that's what they're talking about doing for DVC at the Polynesian. I don't think that'll be all the DVC units, but these will be some sort of special high-end units, you know, 1 and 2 bedroom units, and they'll probably be at additional points cost. Word is 15 to 20 of these that would be built out into the lagoon, coming off of the Tahiti building. So that would suggest that somewhere along the line, the Tahiti building is going to get converted to maybe a DVC building. There's also, I guess, rumors out of renovations to the other guest rooms in at the Polynesian, with plans for all of the longhouses except for Tahiti and Rapa Nui. So that would suggest that DVC is coming to Tahiti and Rapa Nui buildings. And, you know, the word is that some kind of construction on the those DVC units that'll be out over the lagoon is going to start as soon as this year. Now, I think it'll probably be just, you know, some foundational work, because it's really unusual for Disney to start a new DVC project before the old one has finished. They tend to take them one at a time. But if they're going to be building out over Seven Seas Lagoon, it would make sense for them to start, you know, foundation stuff there early on, because that'll take a while. It'll be slow going. So, you know, what do you guys think? Is DVC overwhelming the Disney Resort experience? Is it too much? Is there room for DVC at all the deluxe resorts? Any opinions? Who wants to talk DVC? Terry, you want to talk DVC at the Poly? All right, Terry. I'll let you get away with that. All right. Well, if nobody wants to talk to me about DVC at the Poly, then we're going to move on to the rumor that got hot this week. And I'm excited about it, and I think it makes a lot of sense the more I look at it. So the rumor that's been flying this week is that Disney Cruise Line will be building two new Dream-class ships. So that would mean two more of the larger ships, and that they would roll one out in 2015 and the second one out in 2016. The first source of this rumor is something that I think we've known about for a long time, which is that when Disney bought the Dream and the Fantasy, when they had those built, the contract included options for two more Dream-class ships. So it kind of held spots for Disney in the shipyard's construction schedule. The second thing that I think starts to make a lot of sense for this is that we know that the Magic and the Wonder, the two older ships, are both coming due soon for major overhauls. I don't know that either one has had a complete thorough overhaul since they were introduced. The Wonder did get something of an overhaul when it got retrofitted to do Alaska, but you know, there's a lot that needs to be done when you've had a ship that's been in service for a long time. And these are ships in heavy service. I mean, they run year round and they move around a lot, the Wonder and the Magic in particular. So what you've got coming is sort of a confluence of events. Right now, Disney's running four ships, two smaller ships, two larger ships. And they've, you know, built up a market for four ships. They're still sailing at around 90% or above capacity. Well, let's just say that you need to take the Wonder out of service for a 6 to 9 month refurb. You can't imagine that Disney would be happy with running at, you know, 25% shortfall when they're sailing at 90% capacity, because now they're leaving money on the table. So, yeah, well, I haven't had that much scotch yet, Darcy, so I can say big words still. So now let's say instead that you schedule the Wonder to have its major turnaround in 2015. Well, that means that you could introduce a new ship. The Wonder goes offline. You actually get a small increase in capacity, even though you've taken one ship out of service, and you can continue operating. Then 2016, you can take the Magic out for its refurb, and you can bring the second large ship in. And again, you've added, you know, even though you've taken a ship out of service, you actually have increased the capacity of the line because the newer ship is larger. When it's all done and both the Magic and Wonder have had their refurbs, you now have continued, you know, growth. You've had more capacity introduced over a period of years instead of this big jump in capacity like they had when they introduced the Dream and the Fantasy. I think it's just a win all around. I mean, I think it makes for more cruise ship room for all of us who are Disney Cruise fans. It's a big win for Disney Cruise Line in terms of revenue. I can't find anything to complain about it, and I think it would be terrific. The only question is whether Disney Cruise Line is willing to make the investment in building two more ships, given that they've, you know, just finished building two more ships. So, yeah, you know, Nate had us initially talking about what we ought to name those ships or what Disney ought to name those ships. So who wants to call in and give us their favorite ideas for what the ships ought to be named? Nobody else volunteers. I'm just going to call Nate. All right, Nate. So we started talking about this on the boards earlier this week. What do you think we name two new Disney Cruise Line ships?
Well, my favorite was the Wish.
Okay. So that takes care of one. See, I was having the same issue. I could come up with a name for one. It gets much harder when you got to come up with two more names.
I had a whole list of them, but yeah, the Wish is the one that stuck out. The second one, my next favorite, would be either Imagine or Inspire.
I like Inspire. That fits in with the other names on the line. I get a little nervous with names like, somebody at one point suggested Illusion or what was another one? But the problem with Illusion to me is that it means there's nothing really there. That would kind of bother me on a cruise ship.
Chitty, chitty, bang, bang. Yeah, it's funny. The Black Pearl.
Just call it the Fire Barge. And I know I suggested, they're bringing two of them on. I think they could, honor the founders and call them the Walt Disney and the Roy Disney. Yeah, as Terry said, that right now they use those designations for the big suites, the Walt Disney suite and the Roy Disney suite. But I think those gentlemen merit an entire ship.
The Miracle, says Jason.
Yeah, but do you really want to, people thinking about it being a miracle that your ship is floating?
Red October.
Anybody else have suggestions for us? Want to hop online and talk about two new Disney Cruise Line ships? Would you be excited about sailing them? Where do you think they ought to go? What routes should they be sailing? You have any thoughts on that, Nate?
They got the 4 and 3 day Bahama cruises. I would like to see something between the 4 and the 7 day cruises they have, something like a 5, just one more day,
They have done a few of those, sort of mid length. There's a 6 night, Southern Caribbean, I think that the Wonder is doing, out of Puerto Rico. And it's a really great itinerary. So that's one thought. But I think you're right. I think there's room there for that. I suspect we'll see, when we've got more ships, we'll see more out of Los Angeles on a more regular basis. Maybe doing some of those longer runs, like, doing the Hawaii run that they were doing, once or twice a year. Because you've got a lot of sea days, so on a bigger ship, there's more to do when you're at sea like that.
No, they run some other cruise lines run cruises out of Maryland somewhere over to Bermuda. Be interesting.
Right. And Disney has run a few out of New York that do that New York Canada, short weekend trip, which it's kind of a nice introduction to cruising. It's like a 2 or 3 night that's just a quick, go out and come back kind of cruise. But it keeps the price down and gets people to try one for the first time.
I saw a name. I just lost it.
Yeah, I mean, somebody had mentioned, you know, finding a way to tie in maybe with, you know, the Hilton Head Resort, you know, maybe use a port of departure near there. I think, what does Charleston have a cruise port, I believe?
Yes, they do.
So, you know, that might be nice to be able to link up, you know, land and sea with Disney's Hilton Head Resort and the Charleston port. I hadn't even thought of that. Been some talk perhaps about the Port of New Orleans. That's getting a major rehab right now. And so, you know, they're making a big pitch to bring cruise lines into New Orleans. I think it's always interesting when Disney finds new departure ports. You know, it makes the cruises available to people from different places, makes it easier for them to get to them.
I wonder what sort of things they plan on doing with the Magic and the Wonder as far as refurbs.
Well, you know, it's like the hotels too. I mean, at a certain point after, I mean, how long have those ships been sailing now? What, probably 15 years? Didn't they start around 98?
Somewhere.
So, you know, they've been sailing for about 15 years. At a certain point, you know, you just kind of need to tear the staterooms, you know, down to the studs and redo them. Just as a matter of wear and tear and technical update, you know, you need to rewire. Those rooms have been occupied continuously for 15 years. So it takes time to do it right.
I was laughing at the chat, the minnow.
Yeah, somehow I think they're going to want to avoid, you know, the implications of the infamous 3-hour tour.
Titanic.
They're already working on a Titanic replica. I don't know if you read that.
Sail that ship.
There's no way, no way in hell I would get on that ship. If for no other reason than, you know, I don't really have any desire to live in 1910 or whatever, you know, the turn of the century. Why would I want to get on a cruise ship that, you know, I could only afford to sail in steerage? That just doesn't sound like vacation to me. All right. Well, you know, we've covered pretty much all the things that I had on the docket planned to talk about tonight. So I'm open to suggestions, hearing from anybody else, anything that we ought to be talking about that we haven't. You interested in us continuing this live show experiment? Should we do another one, you know, in a couple of months here? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I like it. Another game show.
I'll work on another game show. You know, this one, I was afraid it was going to run long, so I designed it to be able to be done quickly. And maybe it finished a little too quickly, so feel bad for Paul. He stayed up late to play with us, and you know, he only got to participate once. Anybody else? Topics that you know, we need to make sure we cover here, or that we've missed? News.
I had one.
You have one?
I had one, but I've lost it.
Oh, there we go again.
Gosh.
Well, it can't be monthly at this point, Jason, because I plan 2 weeks at a time or 2 months at a time. So I don't have a slot for it for next month. But we might look at going monthly starting in July. I'll have to see. Bacon. What can we talk? Everybody wants to talk about bacon. You know what? How much more bacon is there to talk about? We post about bacon. We chat about bacon. We commiserate with Oscar and his now baconless life. I think we've got bacon pretty well covered.
Fantasy baseball.
How's that going, guys? I had to drop out this year. Who's running away with the league this time?
I don't play myself, so I don't know.
Yeah. Bacon hasn't jumped the shark. It's just not much of a topic for discussion because it's just sort of, you know, a constant. All right. Well, seeing that we don't have more topics to cover, I do want to mention, as always, that, you know, we'd love to hear from you. We are you know, trying to build the community. Oh, actually, that's one last topic that I did want to talk about. Some of you may have noticed that the DizDads.com blog has been busier for the last couple of weeks. I've been making an effort to try and post something to the blog at least once a day. I don't always make it, but I'm really trying to keep it fresh and to keep things coming. So to that end, I would really appreciate any assistance that, you know, any of you would be willing to give me in terms of being able to keep up with that. You know, you don't have to write something that's incredibly timely. It doesn't have to be brilliant. We just like to hear from different perspectives about, you know, what it's anything that is about being a Diz Dad. So it doesn't even have to be about Disney parks. It can be something about you and your kids. It can be something that makes you think of Disney parks. It could be a whole lot of different things. And I just would really enjoy hearing those. And if you just want to email me things, I can post them for you. You don't have to worry about logging in and learning how to use the site and all of that. So just a thought. If anybody's got anything they'd like to share, you know, I'd love to hear it and love to share it with the rest of the group. So along those lines, you've heard from me a lot tonight and from some of your fellow Diz Dads. We'd love to hear from you. You could email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit the blog dizdads.com, tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. And in addition, you know, remember, check out our new midweek dad show. It'll show up in your podcast feed. It's The Dad Show, your hump day Disney fix.
At the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new, one little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer,